This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Dan Graziano on DCR today. DiPietro, Canty, and the other guy.
I don't even know what we're fighting about.
Well, because you're calling us frauds, and we don't like that. This is a true relationship.
I didn't say it's fraudulent. I just said it doesn't make sense.
How does your relationship with Sherry make sense? She's got A-list celebrities at her beck and call. You got Rick Pitino that just decides he wants to run laps with her around Central Park.
That's right.
And she still chooses you. Makes no sense to anyone.
So a buddy of mine sends me a text and he guesses someone, which is not right, but in retrospect, did hit on Sherry as well. That could be added to this list.
This is DCR.
What kind of vibe is she giving out that everyone just hits on Sherry?
I don't know.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, DCR, we're going to make 7 o'clock hour, 98.7 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. David Quinn's supposed to join us in a couple moments, has not called yet, so hopefully he will, and we can talk about the Rangers, who are back in action tonight against the Devils, a game you can hear on 10:50 a.m. We'll do the big star, the coup de grace of all the people that have hit on Sherry during her lifetime. That's coming up this hour as well. Rob Ninkovich, 7:30. Chris Canty, newly engaged, and that's what led to this whole conversation about who's hit on my wife. But newly engaged Chris Canty will join us at 7:20 this morning, and then he'll be on Get Up today. But Rick, I want to get into this Joe Douglas. Did you hear all of what he had to say yesterday in response to, you know, what's going on with the Jets and the plan and Sam Darnold and everything?
Yeah, but I'd like to hear it again.
All right, well, let's do that. I'm glad you'd like to hear it again. I'd like to play it for you. Here is Joe Douglas. Will you listen to trade calls on Sam Darnold?
I will answer the call if it's made. As it pertains to Sam, I mean, like I said, Sam's a dynamic player in this league with unbelievable talent and who's really, really has a chance to really hit his outstanding potential moving forward. But like I said earlier, if calls are made, I will answer him.
Can I take this as he's not going to be the quarterback next year? I mean, if he was your future quarterback, wouldn't you say he's our guy and we're not going to field calls on him? Or no? Or is that just what he has to say at this point?
Well, I think he's stuck to the fact that he'll answer phone calls. I mean, it's his job as the GM to pick up the phone and answer the phone calls. I mean, it is a departure from, you know, Sam Darnold being untouchable, and I owe it to his, I promised his family I would protect him, to now all of a sudden, you know, he's still got all this talent and, you know, he will reach it, but the way he made it sound, it won't be with the Jets. It doesn't feel like he's coming back.
It doesn't feel like he's coming back. Is yesterday the first time you got to the point where you thought, you know what, they're not going to have Sam Darnold? Like, you feel confident that he's not going to be back?
No, I always felt like they were probably going to move on from Sam, or at least I was hoping that they would move on from Sam. But I think my bigger question was whether or not they were going to be all in for Deshaun Watson. Like, I don't think they are. I don't either. I do not get the feeling like they're gonna bend over backwards to try to get Deshaun.
Which I think is a big mistake. Yeah, you solved the biggest problem for a decade if you grab Deshaun Watson. And I don't think they're going to, and I don't really know why. Like, it seems like a mistake if you don't go after him. At least go after him.
Yeah, I mean, at least go after him. And I think part of the reason why, and this is, I was, you know, kind of thinking about this a little bit yesterday in, you know, reading some of the reports and everything else. So, I mean, there's some stuff coming out of Houston that the Jets would be the team. Like, if the Jets really wanted Deshaun Watson, what they have to offer, the second overall pick and everything else, like, the Jets would be the team that makes the most sense to make the deal. And then I heard something yesterday where apparently people in the know said that Deshaun Watson has no interest in being a Jet. So I was thinking that maybe this is part of why Houston is playing hardball right now and not taking phone calls, is to push this to the point where they know that
say, I'll go to the Jets, I'll go anywhere but here.
Well, yeah, but if you know and everyone else knows that the Jets can give you exactly what you want, because now all of a sudden, you know, I have no quarterback. I have the second overall pick. I can address the quarterback. And everyone seems to be in love with Zach Wilson the further we get along in this process, right? So, I mean, some are even saying he's better than Trevor
Lawrence.
That's
what Chris Sims said, yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, if that's the case, now I have the second overall pick, but Deshaun Watson doesn't want to be a Jet. So maybe the further we push this thing down the road, we'll get to the point where Deshaun Watson would actually agree to be a Jet so we can make the deal that we want. Because otherwise it makes no sense. The guy's telling you he's not going to play for you. Right? So I don't understand what's going to happen all of a sudden.
It makes zero sense. I don't understand it either. Let's hear more from Joe Douglas. Our stance on Darnold has not changed.
I would say with Sam, you know, our stance on Sam hasn't changed. He's an extremely talented player and very smart, very tough. We have no doubt that Sam is going to achieve, you know, his outstanding potential. Obviously, we're in the process of gaining as much information as we can leading up through free agency and the draft, but our stance on Sam has not changed.
It feels to me like it has. It feels to me like you were at one point couldn't have been more all in on this guy, and at this point you're just not.
Well, he's not their guy though. And that's the other thing. He's not their guy.
Uh-uh.
Joe Douglas didn't draft him. The new coaching staff didn't draft him. And I mean I would think that if you're gonna go, I mean, this is the biggest offseason for Joe Douglas, right?
This could be the biggest offseason he'll ever have as a GM in this league.
This is make or break.
Yes.
Like what he decides to do this year.
Yes. This will define him as a GM in this league, correct?
Okay, so you're gonna make it or you're not. So do you want a guy that you inherited, or do you want a guy that you handpicked yourself?
Like, want your own guy.
I would want my own guy. I would want my own coach. So he's got his own coach. Now I would say I would want my own quarterback. And plus it makes sense financially. Like if it's close talent-wise between Sam, and you've already seen Sam, and it hasn't been great, and Zach Wilson is close, I mean, you're talking about now all of a sudden you reset the money and
yep.
You get a fresh start with someone that hasn't been ruined mentally by
the guy that you can housebreak from the beginning.
Well,
right?
Yeah, you can mold him into what you want, as opposed to this guy who's been mentally broken down and has all these bad habits that you're going to have to correct.
That's right. And you can with that. Again, I wish one of us disagreed so we could have more interesting, entertaining conversation, but I think we're all on the right page here. It is time to move on from Sam Darnold. 800-919-3776. Let's go to John in Riverdale. Johnny, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. I want your opinion on this. Say you go after, I mean, you have to keep Darnold, right? But you get a stopgap quarterback until you're able to build a team with the draft this year and next year and pick up Andy Dalton, the free agency this year, because he's only on a one-year contract with Dallas.
But Jonathan, where are you going to get the quarterback long-term now? You're not going to go stopgap.
No. But eventually you would have the team built up already, and then you would move up in the draft in a couple of years when there's a better draft class. I mean,
John, you're not of the mindset, because this is the way I feel, and I think Rick does as well. You're not of the mindset that if you're awful, if you're great, wherever you are, if you can get the quarterback, you have to get him now.
But, I mean, if it's not Trevor Lawrence, then he's not going to be a great quarterback. He may be good.
Jonathan, there are people that think Zach Wilson is better than Trevor Lawrence. Chris Sims, and I'll listen. Time out. Let me just finish this point, because I know people are criticizing Chris Sims, and it feels like, you know, he wants to be that guy, and you know everyone's talking about it. It's clickbait and everything else. I will say this in defense of Chris Sims, and I'll never forget it. I was playing softball with Chris Sims, and I was asking him, because he puts a lot of time and effort into breaking down these quarterbacks, because he does want to be a GM at some point. Him and his dad, they love doing this stuff. And I asked him. I was playing center field. He was playing right field.
With very tight pants, right?
Like you could see his, that's why we called him Nut. You could actually see his pulse in his pants. But I asked him, and this was the year Lamar Jackson was drafted, right? It was the, what was that? Was that, I mean, that's Sam's draft.
Yeah.
So I was asking him, because the Jets had, they needed a quarterback. I said, who do you like in this draft? Who's going to be the guy? And, I mean, people were saying Baker Mayfield. It was Josh Allen. It was Sam Darnold. The name he said, the name he goes, I really, that Lamar Jackson is going to be the guy. No one at the time was saying it. And I'll never forget, he said, Lamar Jackson is going to be the guy.
Listen, I just brought up his top five from 2018. And this was back before the draft of 2018. He has Lamar 1, Josh Allen 2,
yep,
Baker 3, Sam 4, and Rosen 5. The only potential change you would make there is Allen would go 1 and Lamar would go 2. And that's not a definitive. That's what I would do, but I don't think that's crazy if you even kept it the way it is.
But Lamar's already won an MVP.
I I stand by it. I would rather have Josh Allen than Lamar Jackson.
Okay, listen, at the moment, I mean, I think a lot of people would agree with you. But let's not also forget that, I mean, this happened when all of a sudden Buffalo added Steph Diggs.
Yeah, but that's all. Regardless of that, my point is, that's a heck of an order. So to laugh at what he has now, and to say that he has Wilson over Lawrence, you know what? The guy does have a track record of being right about these quarterbacks. And he was a quarterback, so he knows.
Well, he was a quarterback. I mean, his dad is Phil Sims. This is what Phil does. And on top of it, I mean, he has aspirations of being a general manager. The more right he is, the more likely he'll get that opportunity.
That's right. So his quarterback rankings for this year, Wilson, Lawrence, Mac Jones, Kellen Mond out of Texas A&M, Justin Fields, and Trey Lance.
So to that last caller who says, oh, you just figure this out some other time, you trade up.
Oh, God.
Well, no, Chris thinks there's a possibility that all six of those guys go in the first round.
Oh, God. I heard Kellen Mond is a first round. You think he's going to go in the first round too?
He said, I mean, when he breaks him, you see how he has him rated.
Right.
He says when you break him down between arm talent, accuracy, like he said, he couldn't believe, like his dad's the one who told him to check it out. And once he watched the tape, he said he was blown away. He said it was him and Mac Jones. Like, he knew Mac Jones was good, but when he broke him down on tape, he didn't realize how good he was.
Sounds like Carolina's kind of fallen in love with Mac Jones.
Yeah, Carolina, I mean, depending on what happens with Deshaun Watson. But you know what? It's callers like that aggravate me, too. It's like, oh, we'll just, you know, just kick the can. Well, I mean, if you're the Giants, you decided to go Saquon Barkley with the second overall pick, in that same year.
Yeah, you could have had Josh Allen.
Exactly right. And would you rather have Josh Allen or Daniel Jones?
Now you tell me.
Okay, so I mean, this is what we're talking about. Like, it's just all of a sudden, just because you want it to happen 2 years from now, like it's going to be a better quarterback draft.
Listen, there's always going to be a market for Watson, but if you're Texas, Houston, don't you have to trade him before the draft? Because if you're Carolina and you're picking eighth and you love Mac Jones, you can't not take him in the hopes that one day you'll land Deshaun Watson.
No, I'm telling you, Dave. The only thing that makes sense to me is that because Nick Caserio is a smart guy, he realizes like, this, why would I push this to the brain and miss this opportunity to rebuild this thing if the guy doesn't want to be here? You want the second overall pick. If Zach Wilson is really that good, you want the second overall pick. You want that pick.
Of course you do.
So you're trying to force the... I mean, if it's true that Deshaun Watson doesn't want to be a Jet, you have to find some way to make him realize that he'll be okay being a Jet. Would you rather sit out and lose all this money, or do you want to suck it up and be a Jet? You pick.
Yeah. It does make sense. Guests on DCR PRV, the Goodyear Hotline. Real quick, let's go to Jay in Jersey. Good morning, Jason.
Hey, quick question about my thoughts on the Kyle Pitts thing. I don't know that he's the right guy for the Jets, but, I mean, tight ends are game changers, guys. I mean, if you got the right, like, setup, like, I mean, Antonio Gates, Rob Gronkowski, Tony Gonzalez, I mean, they open up the field for you, right? So even if Darnold isn't your guy, but what if Darnold is your guy? I mean, Kyle Pitts can make a difference.
Well, Kyle Pitts is going to make a difference regardless. And I don't deny the talent of Kyle Pitts. For my money, and listen, Mel Kiper disagrees, and this is what he does for a living. I'm not taking a tight end with the second overall selection. I'm just not doing it.
Jason, in theory, you're right. I mean, if anyone's watched Kyle Pitts play, I mean, he could be a game changer. Like, he is, I mean, he's head and shoulders above any other tight end that's available in this draft. We all agree with that. But when you look at the Jets and what they need, especially as far as importance of positions that they need, they need a quarterback. That's something they got to look at. Their offensive line still isn't good.
No, it's bad.
It's not.
Outside of Becton, do you have anybody that you really love on that offensive line?
No. I mean, so even, you know, if you want to stay at two and you kept Sam, I would be hard-pressed not to take Sewell and all of a sudden solidify that offensive line. Because now, I mean, you sign a guard, you could sign a Thuney.
And now for the next decade, you're talking about a dominant offensive line, which makes any quarterback a better version of himself. All right, the man, and if you didn't hear it, we started the show, spent a lot of time on it, but maybe you're just tuning in, and that's fine. We're on 5 to 8 every weekday morning here on 98.7 ESPN. Chris Canty is off the market, ladies. He got engaged yesterday. We will have him with us next to break down a play-by-play version of the engagement.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris, I'm so excited for you. I can't wait for the conversation. We had to have you on today. We know you're doing Get Up at 8 o'clock this morning. Congratulations. You are now an engaged man.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate you, Rico. I'm so excited, man. Last night, I didn't get any sleep because I was just so excited. It's almost like that feeling that you have as a kid the night before Christmas. But, I mean, that's kind of how I feel right now, man. I feel like Mel is a gift, and I'm so glad that she said yes because it was a hell of a lot of planning to go into creating that moment yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, I'm sure the only reason you didn't sleep last night was because you were excited. Stop yourself. We know why you didn't sleep last night.
I'm sorry, Chris. I'm sorry it had to go here.
See, let me ask you a question. Everything in your mind, like the pictures are beautiful, but everything in your mind leading up to the moment you got down on your knee, like what you were going to say, did that all go out the window the second you got down on your knee?
Dude, I did just blank out. I really did. Like, it was so much like the hours leading up to it, it was like I'm checking my watch, I'm checking my phone, just making sure the timing is right because the photographers are already in Central Park. So I've just got all of this stuff organized. We went on a date at the MoMA because I needed an excuse. I needed a reason for her to put on clothes and get dressed up, you know, because everybody's just kind of mobbing around in sweats otherwise when in the pandemic. So I tried to build in a reason for her to get dressed up. And then after the MoMA, we went walking through the park, and I'm just checking my phone to make sure that everything timed up right, so we would have enough daylight to do the pictures after I actually asked her the question. So, when I got down on one knee, like all of the things that I wanted to say, all the things I had planned to say, they just kind of went out of the window, and I just asked her, would she do me the honor of being my wife?
Did you have, because I had this moment of like, oh, God. What happens? Now you're living together, so you feel confident, but did you have that moment of what happens if she says no, or did you have complete confidence that this was going to go smoothly?
It's weird, Dave, because I never imagined her saying no.
Of course.
But I was still nervous about what her answer would be. Like, I mean, I got down on one knee, and I opened the ring box, and I asked her the question, and I didn't get an answer. Like, she was just crying, and she was, you know, she was just jumping up and down. And I'm like, well, I mean, are you okay with it? Are you going to marry me? Is it cool? And then she said, of course. Yeah, but she was speechless for about 30 seconds, man. And I was just like waiting with bated breath.
I'm so mad at us too, Dave, by the way.
Why are you mad at us?
Well, because to start the show, like, we saw the pictures and everything else, and I got all emotional, like, I'm so happy for Chris and
Did
Mel.
Did you cry?
I didn't, like, I'm dead inside, so I don't cry. I mean, I can't cry for any reason except watching, for some reason, Disney movies.
Right, or hearing romantic.
Yeah, or if Kelly, if you throw Kelly Clarkson on right now, I'll probably start weeping. I'm going back in my mind, he did mention maybe a day or two ago, you brought something. I forget. You might have been before you had a nervous breakdown about Price is Right. But Canty said something about the five C's.
Yep, you're right.
That was the hint
you're
that
right.
We missed it.
I did.
Oh,
man.
I didn't pick up on that.
I didn't either.
Did you tell anyone? Like, were there people that were in the know? Because RJ, because you didn't tell us, and we're on Zoom with you, so it's not like we have a lot of time to have that conversation. But RJ said as you were leaving yesterday, he said, all right, have a good day. And you're like, I've got a real busy day. Did anybody know this was happening yesterday?
There were only three people that knew Dave. It was her mom, obviously, because I had to ask her for her hand.
Right.
My mom, and then my oldest brother. Like, those were the only three people that knew. My dad didn't know. My other brother didn't know. Like, nobody else knew. So I kind of kept all of my cards close to the vest. But I wanted it to be a surprise, man. Nice, like, I wanted her to be, you know, really surprised, and she was. And, like, all of the pictures turned out great. The video turned out great. Like, to actually capture that moment where, like, she was genuinely surprised and all of that raw emotion. Like, it was really cool going back and watching it with her and our families last night.
So how did, like, photographers, are they like dressed as trees? Like, you walk up to a certain spot, how does it work that she's not like, wait a minute, why are there 14 photographers around this certain spot?
Well, it wasn't 14 photographers, Dave. It was two photographers, and people are in Central Park taking pictures all the time. So, I mean, it's not like it was a situation where these people, they've done this before. Like, they actually helped me plan the route that we went from the MoMA to the area of the park where I proposed. And so, like, they knew exactly what they were doing, and they, you know, they were, They were inconspicuous, and they blended in, and then when the moment happened, they were right there to capture it. Like, they did, they were the ones that made it all, like, that made the moment, because they had to capture it and, like, to kind of help me collect my thoughts and figure out the exact place to do it in. Like, it made for one of those moments that we'll always remember. Like, it couldn't have went any better. It couldn't have been any more perfect.
So at no point did Rick Pitino just pop up and start taking photos for you, did he?
No, we didn't have that Rick Pitino incident where, he had to jog around the reservoir.
Because you weren't running the reservoir.
The
if you were running
lap.
The reservoir, no. He might have popped out of nowhere.
No, we didn't have a Rick Pitino incident.
I'm glad we did.
I might have had to bolo him. Rico.
And I'm glad for Mel as well. Last one for me. And I have to ask it because this is what I do, but I already know the answer, but I want you to tell everyone. And you know that I ask everybody this question. There is zero chance, Chris, and I know you, so I know the answer is that you will be getting married on a football Sunday, correct?
No, that's not going to happen, Rico.
Yep.
That's not going to happen, Dave. I'm not going to do that to you guys. This is going to happen before football season even starts. Yes.
So this is going to be a short engagement?
No. This is going to be a long engagement. We're looking at 2022, Dave.
Oh.
2022. Yeah.
So before the 2022 season starts.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. All right. Wow.
No, well, there's no need to rush it. They just got engaged. Enjoy being engaged.
I understand, but I didn't know.
Time to plan. This is going to be a beautiful wedding. You got to plan that up. I'll be there for the circumcision when they need it. And then
Stop it. Is there any chance that Rick does perform the wedding?
No shot that he does the wedding, but I do want him to be involved somehow. I got to figure out how that's going to happen.
The
jump out of the
party,
cake, for
Rico's
sure.
got to be a
party.
Part of it.
You can use my cake guy. It's really cheap.
Yeah, he'll charge you four times what a normal cake would cost.
I think I'm all set on that front, brother.
Oh, this is terrific. All right, we know you got to run. Do great on Get Up. We'll celebrate more tomorrow morning. Congratulations, buddy.
Oh, thank you, guys. Appreciate
Real
it, man.
You. That
awesome,
of course,
Chris.
Is Chris Canty. That I'm so happy for him that he's engaged and he's happy and it went smoothly. Because I don't know about you. How long did you actually have the ring before you
Way
proposed?
Too long. Way too long.
Because that's the thing. I think once you get the ring, you got to propose within, I'd say, 72 hours.
No, I'm the worst, too. I can't even, there's no, I can't even keep any kind of present. Any present that shows up before a birthday and whatever it is, it immediately has to be opened. I can't save it. I'm awful.
So how long did you have the ring for?
Weeks.
Oh, God. You must have been having a nervous breakdown.
Yeah, I was having a nervous breakdown. I just had to go, I locked it up. I just put it in the safe and pretended like it wasn't there because I couldn't deal with it because I was so excited about it.
Of course.
It came out perfect.
Because I remember getting the ring and having it done and picking it up at the jeweler, and the one person I wanted to tell was Sherry. You know, like run back and guess what? I got you there. But of course you can't do that. That was a really tough time for me. I distinctly remember that.
Yeah, I was naughty. You should see the ring I got. I got a beautiful wedding ring too. I fell asleep. I made the mistake of falling asleep with my wedding ring on the night of the wedding. You know what happens to your fingers when you drink that much and eat that much pizza?
They swell?
I couldn't get the ring off for a full week. No, seriously. I thought I was going to have to go get it cut off. I couldn't pull it off.
You had to get it cut off?
No, I thought I was going to have to get it cut off. It would not come off. Like, I thought either it was my knuckle was going to have to be ripped off.
Only you.
It would not come off.
Only you.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Bring in Rob Ninkovich joining us here. Rob, appreciate a couple minutes. Really heating up now in the NFL. And I want to start, I don't know if you heard what Joe Douglas said yesterday, but he said they're fielding calls and they will take calls on Sam Darnold. Is that kind of a wink-wink of we're going to move on from this guy? Because I don't know if we're reading too much into it, but why else would you say that if that's not the intent?
Well, I think at this point right now they're looking at how much equity can we get through the draft and how many other pieces can we grab if we did trade Sam Darnold. But at this point right now, the Jets, they need to completely restart from scratch. So I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't get what they wanted and they kept Sam Darnold and, use all those draft picks that they do have to try and build around him. And I wouldn't be shocked if they traded him as well. So, you got to think that if you're a Jets fan, you just got to be able to ride this roller coaster because at this point right now, they're going to have to start over again.
Rob, I mean, I feel like we're at a point now where we have a really close relationship. I can ask you anything.
Okay.
You may not answer it, but I can ask you anything. So don't lie to me when I ask you this question. You can be honest. So I'm a Jets fan, and I played a clip for Dave earlier. He's a Giants fan. Tom Brady, he kind of joked, tongue-in-cheek. He was on with James Corden, and they were joking about the Jets. Now, be honest with me. When you played for the Patriots, how did you guys as a team view the Jets?
I mean, I think everybody might forget the fact that they were good and they were competitive when I was playing. Every time we played the Jets, there was a nice rivalry there to where you wanted to get the best of the Jets. You wanted to win every time you played, and they wanted to do the same to you. So, you know, when Rex Ryan was the coach there, they played tough. I mean, every time you played the Jets against Rex Ryan, it was a battle, and those guys were playing. So I always respect every team that you play. You have to, because it's the NFL, and if you don't, that's when you get beat. So I always respected the Jets, but I always wanted to beat them. So it was a nice little rivalry. It was a healthy rivalry, and I'm happy that I got the best of them.
Very well-schooled answer. That's a Belichickian answer. Very, very well done. Rob Ninkovich with us here, 98.7 ESPN. I think I'm obligated to ask this one, so let me get it out of the way, Rob. Where do you think Deshaun Watson winds up at the end of the day? You think there's hardball and he stays with Houston, or you think at the end of the day he's out of there?
I would like to see him go to Chicago. I'd like to see what that team can do with that defense. I mean, you got to think that under Nagy, they have a top five defense under Nagy and a bottom of the league offense. So if you get him on that team, I think it changes everything. So they got to move him. I'm thinking at this point with the friction there and the hard stance that he has, there's only one option that the Texans have, and that's to trade him. If not, then he's just not going to play.
Which is amazing. Rob Ninkovich joins us here on the show. Rob, were you surprised at all? I mean, with J.J. Watt deciding to sign with Arizona?
A little bit. I mean, you would think, or at this point in his career, he's already made enough money. So I know that's funny to say enough money, but, you know, what's enough? At some point, you want to, you know, make a run at it, make a run at the Super Bowl. And I don't think Arizona's, I don't know, within the Super Bowl run in the next year or two. I just don't see it. So it's interesting, but you know, he'll have some nice things in Arizona.
Yeah, he sure will, and some beautiful weather. Rob Ninkovich with us here, 98.7 ESPN. I've been an ardent critic of Dave Gettleman, and releasing Golden Tate just hammers home the point that it's another signing that wasn't horrendous, but it certainly wasn't good. Are the Giants in the right hands in your mind with Dave Gettleman? Do you like him? Do you think that he can rebuild this organization? Because it's been years now, and I mean, I know they were a half away from winning the division, but they still won six games last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that with the new coaching staff and Joe Judge, you got to give that a chance to start to, you know, trickle into the guys on the roster. And you know, I think it takes a little bit of time, and there is a transition here. You move away from Eli, and you have a young quarterback and Danny Dimes. So it might take another season, but I don't think it's time to give up on him. No, not yet.
Rob, let me ask you a question. I mean, inside that Seattle Seahawks locker room, I'm putting you inside that locker room with, you know, Russell Wilson, obviously not happy. So kind of a two-part question. If you were his teammate, how would you feel about what he's doing? And the second part of the question, if you were, I mean, Dak Prescott or, you know, one of these quarterbacks on one of the teams that he mentioned he would be okay going, you know, being traded to, how would you feel about what's going on with Russell Wilson?
I mean, I would be a little concerned, especially if I was a veteran, because if I'm in my later years, I don't want to have a, you know, young quarterback start over at the quarterback position when you have Russell Wilson, because he basically gives you a chance every single weekend that you have him, you have a team. So if I had a good relationship with him, I'd say, hey, Russ, what do we need to do here? Like, we'll get the signs ready and we'll stand out in front of the building here. We'll start a picket here for an offensive line for you. But, you know, at this point right now, sometimes you can't focus on what other guys are trying to do. And as a player, it's so hard to play at a high level anyway. So then you start thinking about other guys, it's just tough to deal with. So, you know, I'm sure that'll all work itself out. I don't think he's going anywhere. Seattle knows what they got. They can't let that get away from them.
The best beard in all of sports talk, Rob Ninkovich joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. What do you, at the end of the day, I ask you about quarterbacks, obviously so important. Dak Prescott, is he a Cowboy for years to come? Is he a Cowboy at all? Does he you know play under the franchise tag and then move on? Like what is the end game here? How does it end for Dallas and Prescott?
Well, he would have thought if he was going to be the quarterback for years to come, they would have signed him 2 years ago. Just seems like it's an awkward situation for everybody involved, and you know I don't think Dallas was necessarily thinking that going on IR and having a serious injury was going to increase his value, but we saw what Dallas was without him, and they really weren't good at all. So Dak's situation, I don't take anything, you know, I don't have any offense to Dak, you know, trying to get the most that he can, because at the same time, teams will do the same thing to a player in that situation. So if a player can get some power and a player can have a little bit of say in what, and where he's going to go, I love it. So that Jerry Jones put himself in this position, I don't think that he'll be there long term. I think at this point right now, he'll probably play under the tag again, and then he'll be a free agent. That's my thought.
Rob Ninkovich joins us here on the show. Rob, last one for me. In your mind, I know this is just guessing at this point, but I mean, you know Bill Belichick, you know the Patriots, obviously. Do you think they go veteran quarterback? You think they address it in the draft? Is Cam Newton coming back a realistic possibility?
Well, I think you can't count that out, but at the same time, I think what would be best for the team either would be get a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo that they know, and he knows the system and what to expect. The expectations in New England are very high every single year. And I could also see him going and getting a young quarterback and using all that cap space that they have in positions of need. And if you can do that and have a great defense, you can win a lot of football games with a young quarterback in a good system. So I would think that if they don't get Jimmy G or they don't get I would say Jimmy G or a young quarterback. It's either or. If they don't get Jimmy G, they're going to draft a young quarterback.
All right, Rob, great stuff as always. We appreciate a couple minutes, and I'm sure it won't be long before we talk to you again. And I'm glad that my co-host kept it as clean as possible today.
All right, guys, thanks.
Good stuff. Good for you, Rick. You're really growing up right before my eyes.
Listen, I'm trying to take steps in the right direction, Dave.
It's good.
I'm over here calling Russell Wilson, Russell Westbrook. I'm trying to crack
it. Happens.
Crack the code.
Here's the thing. If I did that, that would be like a drop, and you would never let it go. You do that, it's not a big deal. We do 3 hours. So you called, you know, a player by the wrong name. It's not that big a deal.
I hate it.
Why? This will now affect you. You will think about this multiple times over the remainder of the day.
Yes, I will.
You could not be more neurotic. am I wrong? RJ, am I wrong?
That's what this does to him.
But why?
I don't know. This is a deep-seated issue.
I mean, what happened when you allowed a goal in a game? Don't they tell you just let it go? It's over, it's done, and move on to the next play?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would like to do. That's not the reality of the situation. I mean, this is what happens when you're a young kid and you're letting a bad goal and you look up in the stands and your dad's got his fingers over his nose like, you stink. Does damage. This does damage to a young kid.
So you're blaming your dad for the fact that you called him Russell Westbrook and now it's going to haunt you for the rest of the day?
It seems like a controllable mistake. Like, Russell Wilson.
Of course it's controllable. But it's not that big a deal that this is now going to haunt you, because I know we're going to finish the show, and you've been very good today. We'll finish the show. You'll probably, Cassie, you'll never believe it. Like, of all the good things and all the hijinks and comedy and things we've done well today, that's going to be the one thing that rings true for you about this show today. I can't believe I called Russell Wilson Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, that and then the one read I keep telling RJ that I want to redo with he won't let me do. I hate it. Can't stand it. Every time I hear it, it drives me crazy, and I want to just...
Well, what is
that?
This?
Do a new
you
one.
Had a live read and you messed it up. What happened?
No, I had a recorded read and it sounded fine, but I think I went too fast, so it doesn't sound as smooth when they.
God. So you want to redo it, and RJ says, "I'm sorry, we're not redoing it."
No, he messes with me. He only lets me do one take, and then he shuts my my machine off.
That's right.
I'll get him when I ever come back to the studio. I'm just going to sit there and just do the read over and over and over again.
And you know what he's going to do? He's going to record the first, and then he'll stop recording and let you just talk into nothing for 5, 6, 7, 8 takes, and then take the one read anyway.
Right, but you know what the problem is? He now knows what I'm doing, so he won't finish the read. He'll get to like the third to last word and then start over.
I don't give him the opportunity now. I can't wait, too. I have my fingers crossed that I have the honor of making a speech. Actually, I might just grab the microphone and make a speech at RJ's wedding. And I'm just going to go on and on and on.
Well, yeah, but knowing you, you would start over halfway through.
That's right. I don't like the way this started. Let me start it over. I can't tell you. Honestly, we would do our Friday shows and do our football picks, which was stressful as all can be with these guys. And I have to do this cover three for the Jets pregame. And as the show ended, I became so upset because I knew that the cover three, it didn't entail like, all right, I'll speak. They'll speak. If they mess up, they'll just pick up where they left off. It has to be perfect. It used, like, the show would end at 1:25, which should have taken 3 minutes. I'd be like, guys, I don't want to be here. And Rick would yell, what do you have better to do than be here? This is where we need to be to get this done perfectly. You don't realize what goes on here.
See, this is what happens, though. These are the little winning things. You like James Harden. You just want to do your own thing. You want to just come in, put in the work, and then leave. And you want to go to the strip club and hang out.
It's unprecedented. Anybody else in radio. All right, if you mess up, you pick up where you messed up, and you edit it out. Not you. It's got to be perfect from the jump. And it makes zero sense. All right, it's an instant gratification world. That's why Indeed has Instant Match. It searches millions of resumes in Indeed's database to deliver you people who fit your job description perfectly and right away. To learn more about all Indeed's great hiring tools, visit Indeed.com/credit. I will give you the final person who hit on Sherry in 4 minutes. And we're going to do three stars a little bit later in the show, Santy, so get that ready as well. Call him in the Bronx. Call him. That's right, because it is a Thursday. Call him. You're on 98.7 ESPN, pal.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for taking the call. What's going on, Rick?
What's going on, Colin?
Really quick. I wanted to talk about the Giants and the recent cutting of Golden Tate. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to tell you what I think the Giants are going to do. I'm going to tell you what I think Dave Gettleman is going to do based on my experience of watching Dave Gettleman draft and do all this stuff. I think they're not going to go after a big receiver and Allen Robinson and Kenny Golladay. They're going to go get Curtis Samuel because that's his guy. He always likes to get guys he previously drafted. I think they restructured Kevin Zeitler. I think they dump Nate Solder. And in that first pick, they got to get one of the top three receivers in Kyle Pitts. And I think that's going to be the big difference. But the big thing that everybody's worried about is, oh, do we get a top receiver? Do we get a top flight guy? Dave Gettleman's going after Curtis Samuel from his previous team. I don't think we're going to make that many major moves.
First of all, Coleman, thanks for the call. They don't have a ton of money, Rick. You know, this idea that the Giants have so much money to spend, they're not the Jets. The Giants, I think, what are they, $9 million under the cap right now? And that's no Leonard Williams. That's no Dalvin Tomlinson. So they're going to have to restructure and move on from a bunch of guys still.
Yeah, I mean, all these teams are going to have to do that. I mean, they don't have as much, obviously, I mean, with the needs that they have, they don't have as much money as you would hope. But, I mean, you read Diana Rossini's report. I mean, she said over the next week, the NFL is going to be, it's going to be a massacre.
It's going to be a bloodletting is what it's going to be.
It's exactly what it's going to be. But maybe, I mean, some of these mock drafts, they have you taking Jalen Waddle.
Which I'd love.
Which you would love.
Listen, if the Giants wind up with one of the big three receivers or an edge rusher, I'm going to be happy. It's hard. This is how I see it. It's hard draft night to be that upset. Don't you agree? Like people that are, they're outraged. And how could we have
easy
done this?
Time out.
What?
I don't even start with that. The second they drafted Daniel Jones, I thought you were going to have a nervous breakdown.
That's different. I'm saying that one makes sense to me to be upset. But realistically, if the Giants take Pitts, you're not going to freak out. If they take Waddle, you're not going to freak out. If they take Rousseau, you're not going to freak out. Like, you don't think that it's difficult to envision being that upset with the Giants draft night?
No, I can't imagine being super upset with whatever happens. They're going to get
any of those
player.
Guys are very reasonable.
No, absolutely. I mean, they all fit needs. I mean, Pitts is great. It's the Ingram thing still would aggravate me a little bit.
Understandably so. I mean, he took a tight end in the first round, and he's underwhelmed.
Yeah, the whole Nate Solder thing too. I mean, if they cut Nate Solder, you're talking about a $10.5 million dead cap number.
Him not playing last year really cost
hurt
the season.
That hurt you though
terribly.
Because it would have been.
He says he's going to come back. I don't know. Maybe move on from him.
Well, how are you moving on? I mean, you're gonna take a $10.5 million cap hit?
What kind of savings do you get though?
$6 million
yeah,
bucks.
It's probably not worth it. But how good is he at this point? He's probably better at right tackle than.
That's what I mean. You can move him to right tackle. Maybe he's get year off.
That's a terrible signing.
But again, that was that goes back to.
I know it was desperate Eli time. I know
exactly
what it was.
Right. That whole plan in general was a terrible. That was a fugazi plan to start with.
Terrible. Terrible. All right, this should be interesting. Let's see what we have here. Corey in Greenwich. Corey, you're on.
Greenwich.
Greenwich.
An hour north of Albany, New York.
Oh, I thought we were like Greenwich Village. Okay, go ahead, Corey.
Well, don't feel bad, okay? Don't feel bad, Dave, because I'm on a dairy farm, and we often have to use the thermometers up to all our cows' butts to check the temperatures.
Yeah, but that's a cow. So what are you saying, that Dave resembles a cow?
No, listen, what I did, everyone had this done. I don't understand why this is so difficult for you to understand. If you're 45 or older, you had your temperature taken rectally. That's just what it was.
Yeah, but just how often you had to do this?
I was sick as a child. I had bad allergies, and I'd wind up with strep throats all the time. I'd wind up with the fevers, and I had to have it done. Not proud of it. I don't wear it as a badge of honor, but it happened. And for you to mock me endlessly, you know, I bring my true, honest emotions and feelings and stories to the show, and this is what I get. Now I have fractured glass in my rear. I mean, I'm not sitting here making fun of you for being breastfed till you were five.
I love the melon. Why is it five now? Now it's five?
Because this is what we do.
Yeah, I'll be 10 by next week.
I'm very uncomfortable with you putting this in my bottom and you know, lubing me up and all that kind of stuff. Did you ask for the bosom? Were you old enough that you could verbalize, I need a treat. Can I have the bosom?
It was not a treat. I didn't say, hey, can I get a treat? Apparently, I would say it's booby time.
I mean, if you put a sentence together for it, you were too old for it, okay?
I had teeth. full teeth.
I mean, if you were like pointing, like grunting, I want that, fine. But the fact that you're putting like conjugated words together, it's...
I think I was standing up doing it. I think it was.
Yeah, I'm sure you were.
Up.
You're probably running around, probably on your tricycle. Got off, wiped down. All right, is it booby time here? Let's go.
They call for a water break during Little League. I'll be right back.
Let's go to Troy in South Carolina. Good morning, Troy. You're on 98.7.
Dave, you got to embrace the thermometer. Before I get to my point, you got to embrace it, pal. Just embrace it. Thermometer boy, the whole thing. And guys, I'm still being breastfed, so I'm good. But here's my point, Dave. See, yeah. Chris is not there. The DiPietro's taking advantage of the situation. He's over there sandbagging for the trade. He's hardened with the fat suit. He's working it. Russell Wilson, Russell Westbrook.
Oh, you think
athlete.
He's trying to get mad? Yeah, but I don't think management would take him off our show and put him on a higher profile show with television components if he's making mistakes.
Listen, I don't get involved in domestic disputes. I'm just telling you what's going on.
I appreciate.
Because they haven't already done that? You remember who the third member of that show is, right?
Yeah, it's a valid point.
At least my mistake was an actual athlete I named.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You would have said Russell Westbrook. He'd have been like, who is he talking
about? Yeah.
What sport does that gentleman play?
They do a baseball segment. It looks like there's a mannequin on TV.
As a business owner, time is your most valuable resource. That's why Indeed has Instant Match. Post a sponsored job and Indeed instantly searches millions of resumes in their database to deliver candidates who best fit your job description. Want to go beyond the resume? Choose from over 135 skills tests to challenge applicants on hard skills like computer proficiency or soft skills like customer service. Indeed delivers four times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Learn more at indeed.com/credits. It's not funny. It's a mistake. It's not that big a deal. All right. The final very famous actor to hit on my wife. You ready?
I'm ready.
Known for his famous haircut.
Famous haircut, okay.
He was in movies like Three Kings. He was in Ocean's 11. He, I think, recently had children. Michael Clayton was one of the better films he was in. Good Night and Good Luck. Do you have no idea?
Didn't I already say who it is?
Yeah, but I thought for the new listeners that you could play the game a little bit.
It's George Clooney, baby.
It is George Clooney.
That's Dave.
That's pretty good, right?
I don't think it gets, in all honesty. I would put, I mean, you said Brad Pitt earlier. George Clooney's right there, man.
Yeah, no, he's top level. So, Sherry was sponsored by the New York Athletic Club when they thought lacrosse was going to be an Olympic sport. and I guess he was either there or he was a member or whatever the case may be, and he sat with her and talked to her and he's like, can you explain lacrosse to me? And they went over and had a long conversation. Now, she stands by the fact that it was just friendly conversation and he was not hitting on her.
Yeah, because he
was
all everything that. About lacrosse. Stop it. Stop yourself,
I don't believe that. And he was intrigued and he wanted to know.
Yeah.
So that I see that to me, like I should put that on my resume. Like, you know, proficient in sports talk. My wife was once hit on by George Clooney. That to
no, that
me,
goes on Wikipedia. I mean, yeah, I see Wikipedia. You get your lacrosse win on Wikipedia. Why not have that?
I think somebody should go on my Wikipedia right now, change it, take a screenshot, and send it to me at Rothenberg ESPN. All right,
Dave's
I know Santiago's
like,
going to forget
George
three
Clooney.
Stars. I'm not forgetting nothing. Let's go, Santi. Three stars.
Today's three stars of DCR. Number three.
All right, we'll just do number three very quickly. The payoff was worth it this week. We wanted to get to this story and then the observations. So the guy, and I lost his name. The gentleman on Fox 25. I actually had the name queued up somewhere and I lost it. But the gentleman on Fox 25 in San Diego.
And there's something going on here in the distance. I think we have an officer involved shooting. We're going to kind of stay back.
Way to keep your composure, unlike me.
We're going to kind of stay back.
Yeah.
Number two.
Number two, it's got to be Sherry Rothenberg getting all this unwanted attention. Dave Rothenberg, you got to feel like this. You're in a way being hit on when these.
Yeah, no,
things.
I'm an Adonis. I feel by proxy, I gain points today. Absolutely.
Number one.
Number one's going to go to Chris Canty coming through, getting engaged, getting us all down this road. Congratulations to our own Chris Canty, planning out the engagement, the photo shoot, the photographers just as trees, as Dave was pointing out. I mean, the whole nine.
A wonderful job by everybody today. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5 o'clock in the morning. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Playing a champion is DPH with Canty Rothenberg and
everybody
on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO Canty and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DPHRO Canty and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.